All right. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Minchas Maariv today is at 7 and at 7:50 p.m. Please make an effort to join one or all of the minyanim. Also, we are in the midst, in the throes of our Kol Nidre campaign and selling tickets for Yom Ha'Ra'im. So please, if you plan on joining us, buy tickets in advance. If you don't planning on joining us, reconsider planning on joining us and buy tickets in advance. Okay, we've introduced a few new sparim as we intensely study the Brach of Gal Yisrael and Shmona Esrei. I want to introduce another new sefer to you this morning. It's a sefer called Baruch She'amar. It's written by the author of the Torah Tamima, Rav Baruch Halevi Epstein. In context of sfarim written, it's a fairly recent sefer within the last 100 years or so, it's a great sefer. He briefly offers some thought, commentary, some halachic insight into all aspects of tefillah. So there are two ideas I want to share with you this morning. One, both very brief. One which is a little bit more obvious than the other. The first is he says the quiet Shmona Esrei that we daven on during the week, Tefillah Sachol, is called Shmona Esrei. The reason it's called Shmona Esrei is because originally, when it was initially put together by Anshei Knesset Gedola, it contained 18 brachos, and 18 brachos is Shmona Esrei. That's very obvious. We added one bracha later, V'lam Al Shinim, because Jews came under attack. And he says, unfortunately, that bracha stuck because every generation since we added it, Jews have been under attack. So that bracha stuck. So it eventually became 19 brachos, but it became colloquially known as Shmona Esrei because of its 18 brachos. He gets very worked up about not calling the other amidas, the other times we daven, not calling them Shmona Esrei. So for example, Shabbos morning Shacharis, we shouldn't call that Shmona Esrei because it doesn't even come close to being Shmona Esrei. He says the practice never turned into one calling all the other amidas by the number of their brachot for whatever reason, but he says one should be particularly careful to not overstep the Shmona Esrei boundary of what actually is a Shmona Esrei. That's number one. Number two, and what is a more startling idea, he quotes the Tor, who quotes his father the Rosh, encouraging the practice that after we, when we're listening to Chazan repeating Shmona Esrei, after he says the name Hashem, we say Baruch Hu Uvaruch Shema. That's a very common practice. Baruch Hu Uvaruch Shema. Very common practice. And he quotes the Torah and the Rosh. It seems like, just parenthetically, it seems the earliest source for that is the... I'm blanking right now. Give me a second. I'll remember in a second. But the Baruch Hu Uvaruch Shema, he encourages one not to say it. There's many late Achronim that encourage one not to say it. His reason seems to be fairly novel. He says if you take the gematria of Baruch Hu Uvaruch Shema, but if you take the gematria of those four words, it is actually the same gematria as Shabtai Tzvi. So he says if one wants to be particular, one wants to be careful, especially they were still living in the ripple effects of Shabtai Tzvi, one wants to be particularly careful. One shouldn't even hint towards the fact that it's Shabtai Tzvi. One should even begin to mention Shabtai Tzvi or even mention it in the same gematria. Obviously, it's something that is much less of a concern nowadays. There are many other poskim that say you shouldn't say Baruch Hu Shmo. There are many poskim that say you should say Baruch Hu Shmo. The reason to perhaps sidestep the Torah Tamima, with this I'll conclude, the reason to sidestep the Torah Tamima is because the Torah says you're supposed to say Baruch Hu Uvaruch Shemo, right, with the Vav before the Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, the second set of that phrase, and that Vav changes the Gematria, right? The Gematria of Shabtai Tzvi is only if you skip that Vav. Either way, whatever you do should only bring more blessing into the world. We